Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, just say your name and your role with the show.
Hello, my name is Vincent Musgrave, and I'm the choreographer for a chorus line at Toby's Dinner Theater.
Yes, the very famous local spot, one of the coolest theaters in the area, in Columbia, Maryland. It's staging a chorus line now through March 10th, so get your tickets now. Hey, thank you for doing this.
Hey, no problem. It's great to be here. Thanks for having us.
All right, so I think it's really cool we're talking that Mark Minnick gave us a choreographer this time. You know, usually we'll talk to Mark, who's directing it, or some of the cast members, or Toby herself.
Right.
But I think it's kind of cool that we're doing a choreographer. So just let's start there. How long have you been choreographing or working at Toby's in any capacity, I guess?
I have probably been working at Toby's since 1998, I think.
Wow.
I think my first show was West Side Story, which was a big dance show. And I've been working on stage there for that amount of time off and on. This is my first choreography gig with them. However, I've been doing choreography gigs since high school.
Which was where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Argentina and went to the Asociación Escuelas Lincoln in Buenos Aires, Argentina. And it was associated with the School of the Arts. And I grew up as a dancer and came to the States, went to New York, and have settled in the Maryland area since then. So
nice. What do you mind? Do you remember what year it was you actually came to New York?
1984 would have been back in the day. So and I've settled in this area around 1988.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I was asking because the original, you know, A Chorus Line, you know, Marvin Hamlisch, the whole thing,
yeah,
was 1975. But if you saw it in, well, I guess I was going to ask, did you see it in New York in the 80s? Because, you know, it was famous as, you know, well, until Cats broke the record in like 97. A Chorus Line was like the longest running Broadway show there for a while. So that would have been during your run when you were in New York. So did you see that original run?
I was able to see the original run with the original people. That has what sparked my interest in the show. It was something that, you know, for me, as growing up as a dancer, I never really, you know, thought I could pursue a theater gig. You know, I always just thought myself as a company dancer, you know, for dance companies, etc. And so, you know, that was my thought process. However, you know, after seeing A Chorus Line, you know, I saw that, oh, well, wait a minute, you know, we can sing and talk and dance all at the same time. Let me see what that's all about. So I switched my focus, and, you know, promptly tried to pursue that whole avenue. So that was nice. It was an eye-opening event to actually see that show live.
Wow. And if you had to guess, do you, this is just because I'm going to write an article to go along with this, so it's nice to have all the
sure
details. Do you remember, if you had to guess, do you remember what year you think you would have seen it? In 80 what?
I actually saw it in the 70s. I had come, you know, I had been coming back to the States forever. And so
before you moved up here permanently, you know, you were going back and forth. Okay.
I did actually see it in the 70s. So it was probably 76.
Oh, okay. So, wow. So you got to see it like right with that original cast.
Yeah, I saw it early on with the original cast. So I was young. I was probably 10 years old, 11 years old.
That is so cool. All right. So if you saw it in 76, yeah, that's literally the year that it won 9 Tonys. I think it was nominated for like 12 or something crazy, but it won 9, including best musical and the best score for Hamlisch and everything. But yeah. Oh, so that's incredible. All right. So then, tell me then what year about did you come to DC, or what brought you down to DC? Because, I mean, Broadway is Broadway, but DC is damn close. I mean, some of the best shows start in DC before they go to Broadway.
Exactly. DC has really become the hotspot for a lot of theater.
For Baltimore, we should say Baltimore too, because Toby's is Columbia.
No,
so the
no,
yeah,
no.
The Wiz was Baltimore. So yeah, DC and Baltimore,
there's
really.
A lot happening in the metro area. So it's, you know, it's nice to come down here. I actually came down. I got moved. I actually moved to Charlotte originally, North Carolina,
okay,
out of New York. My sister who was also a dancer, had moved down to that area, and she had met a guy. And, you know, I left New York for a little bit just to see, reevaluate my life. I, as much as I love theater and I love dancing, you know, my financial father was always in my brain about, you know, where's your next paycheck coming from? And that whole thing really sticks to me. And it's a hard job to do full time and to try to run, your life out of a suitcase sometimes, you know, because that's primarily where my gigs were. I was on tour most of the time that I had gone through New York. So I've spent very little time in New York. Actually, most of the time was on the road, which is good. I was working. But in the long run, you start to think, you know, is this life for me? So I'd actually left to try to figure that out. I like the traveling aspect. So I actually have become a flight attendant since then.
Oh, and okay.
Which has allowed me to the comfort, you know, of being able to pick gigs that I want to do and not have to worry about the financial aspect of it. So it's been a good addition to my life.
So wait a minute. How long have you been doing? How long have you? I keep thinking Born in a Trunk from, what was it, Stars Born? You said living life out of a suitcase. But wait a minute. So when did you become a flight attendant, and what airlines? Because I think this is going to become, I mean, by the way, we will get to the plot and everything, of course.
Right.
and the buffet and everything. We'll get to it in a second. But
right.
I'm sensing like a cooler feature too on all the crazy. I mean, I feel like I'm talking to Catch Me If You Can, but it's real. You know, you're doing flight attendants.
Yeah.
What airlines?
I came down to refocus my life actually in Charlotte, and was working at a theme park, and some of the dancers in the shows were all going to an interview at the time with Piedmont Airlines. And
Piedmont,
for me, internationally based, I had no idea who Piedmont Airlines was, and thought, you know, oh, I don't have anything else happening, so let's go, let's figure that out. I'll go, you know, whatever. And their thought process was that it could take you to all of your auditions, you know, just hop on a plane and go wherever you wanted to go for auditions. And I thought, oh, that would be really cool.
Right.
You know, pay for airfare or travel or anything like that. Let me go. So went, got hired. You know, my growing up in Argentina, I do have a Spanish background also, so I can speak Spanish fluently, and got hired, you know, immediately. They were just starting up some Spanish destinations and, you know, needed translators as well. So I've been doing that gig since I moved to Baltimore in 1988. And have been traveling the world, running around. You know, it has really helped. I've been able, with different companies, to work at the Royal Albert Hall in London, you know, as well as sing in the Wembley Arena. I've been able to work in Sweden. You know, the gigs just take you, and being able to get someplace is actually, you know, a big feather in your cap, because they don't have to pay for your transportation.
Wow, what a cool story, man. This is like a cool, like, you know, the life you lead of traveling around and doing shows while also being a flight attendant. That's incredible. Did you ever sing on the planes, like practice?
I sung once on an airplane because a friend that I was flying with, her best friend was on the plane. We were traveling, I forget where we were traveling to. But her best friend was on, and it was their anniversary, and they asked me to sing a song for them, and I can't even remember what I sang, but that was literally the only time I've sung on an airplane. I've run into a lot of people that I know in the business as they've been going back and forth, which has also been fun. You know, you look up and see somebody and go, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I know you.
Nice. Well, so that's really cool. All right. Well, so we've done a good bit of this interview from the, what is it, 20,000 feet in the air perspective, whatever, right, it is.
Exactly.
But what is it? What's the actual? It's not 20,000, is it? What is it? What's the actual phrase? I don't remember what the actual.
30,000.
30,000. All right. Close. Yeah. I was flying a little too low. All right. So, but now, yeah, let's before we run, obviously, let's dive into, you know, the details of A Chorus Line at Toby's.
Yeah.
So remind us what the general I guess, premise, plot summary, if someone missed it on Broadway or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. What's the general storyline?
The general story of A Chorus Line is based on actually trying to get in the chorus. You know, we call the chorus of a show the chorus line. And so getting into the chorus of a Broadway show, these dancers are hired. And back in the day, unlike nowadays, you know, so many of these performers have to be triple threats, which means they have to sing, dance, and act. You know, back in the day, they would hire a chorus line. They would hope that you would, you know, carry a tune at least. But most of the time, that is all you did, is you danced in the background, you know, danced in the dance numbers. You know, they hired, you know, other singers and the stars to do all the other stuff. And the dancers would just dance. So the premise of the show is watching these dancers audition for a Broadway show. However, the trot twist, the plot twist is that they, I got that one.
Yep.
The director has decided he wants to have some of them play some bit parts. And so he would like to hear them talk. He would like to hear their little stories, you know, about their lives, which is something new to them as dancers, because they never do that. And so we get to see into the lives of each of these dancers. You know, we get to see some of their backgrounds, where they come from. You know, we hear their stories. And at the end, you know, through a mishap, you know, an accident that happens with one of the dancers, they're all forced to really answer the question, what are you going to do when you can't dance anymore? You know, what is your life going to look like? So they're each, you know, it brings on the famous song, you know, What I Did for Love. And that's their true calling. You know, for them, there is nothing else. You know, dancing is their life. So it's an in-depth, you know, not your ordinary show, you know, as we would call a bubblegum show. You know, it's something that is a little bit more intense. You know, there are very intense moments in the show. And it, you know, you see each of the members of the line, you know, tell a little bit of their story, you know, so it's very unique in that respect.
Awesome. Remind us some of the, I mean, I mentioned that Marvin Hamlisch wrote the music alongside, what was the other guy? Edward Kleben?
Edward Kleben.
Yes. So remind us some of the famous songs, you know, Singular Sensation.
Famous songs that you will hear.
Sorry, I stepped on you a little bit. Could you just take that?
You get to hear What I Did for Love. Of course, One Singular Sensation is the big finale number, which most people would know as the big number done with the gold tuxedos and the gold top hats, very sparkly. That is, you know, we stay true to that in this show, so you will see that. As I said, What I Did for Love, Nothing, which is also featured, and God, I Hope I Get It, which is the big opening number. And all of those are probably the most famous songs that you would hear in the show. You know, there are a couple of big dance numbers, one which was done by Donna McKechnie, and The Music and the Mirror, which is famous, you know, for her solo dancing, which is done by Lydia Gifford in our show. And she does it superbly. And in her red leotard and her red skirt, which is very iconic.
Awesome. Thanks for mentioning the costumes, because I was going to ask, what do we see visually during these songs? But you sort of hit the costumes. But I guess the other part of the visual experience, like what's the Toby set there? Because obviously it's in between everybody's dinner tables and everything. So, yeah, like what do we see in terms of like a set design?
Originally, the set design is very sparse because you're technically on stage, you know, seeing a bare stage. It is an audition process. So, right. You know, you do see mirrors. You know, we do have some mirrors that do make an appearance, because Toby's is in the round. The process of the show and the staging of this show had to be very different. This show typically is held on a line, which is all you would see on the stage from an audience perspective, you would see a white line painted across the stage. And that is the line that all of the dancers stand on throughout the interview process, throughout the audition process. And so with Toby's, we have recreated that line, but because we are in the round, we had to take into consideration everyone's vantage point and stay true to the line. And we do have hints of the line throughout the show. However, we had to stay true to what our show is about. You know, it's about a chorus line, them actually being chosen, you know, for the show. So once we put that into our brains, then we could really, you know, step outside of that line box and create something very different for our audiences to see.
Love it. And then the final piece of this, of course, it is a dinner theater. So and I know they have like themed things on the buffet. Could you dish on, pun not intended, could you dish on some of the food that might be in the buffet line? Not the kick line, but the buffet line.
Yeah, as always, you know, Toby's has wonderful food. There is a salad bar that is open with all of your salad bar, you know, mixings and fixings. On the buffet, you know, they always like to have fun, you know, with the way that they write things. You know, something that we have is Cassie's cabbage and, you know, Mike's meatballs. And I think there's Maggie's vegetables. You know, they pay homage to each of the characters in the show. Of course, there's always the spinach funk, which is famous spinach and cheese casserole that they've had forever at Toby's and is still delicious. It's one of my favorite on the buffet.
Awesome.
And always sliced carved meats as well.
Great. Well, it sounds like it's going to be a blast. So thank you. I have more than enough to work with your whole backstory and your journey, as well as the show itself. It's going to be a fun piece. So everybody, invite, I guess, final seconds, pretend I'm not here and you're talking directly to the listeners. Just, say, hey, DMV, come on out. You're going to have a good time.
Yes, everybody come see Toby's at the dinner theater at Columbia. We're doing a chorus line. It's runs through March 10th. The cast is young, energetic, all dancing, all singing. The buffet is delicious. Please make sure that you get your tickets and come out and see us. You won't regret the evening. It's entertaining and very energetic. So if you're a theater lover, please put this in your calendar and come see us.
Awesome. Hey, thank you so much for doing this. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Jason. It's been a blast.
All right. Bye.
Bye.